so.
Blog Talk Radio.
Friday, and then it's get Black Talk.
Yeah.
And it's Allison Black on with me as well. So welcome,
oh,
Allison.
My goodness. Hello. Yeah, man. I saw that guy from Cleveland in that audience last week, and he's back. This is amazing.
Yeah, he's back. Well, the weather's good, so.
Jeez. Yeah, it is today. And gosh, my heart goes out to all those people in the northwestern Illinois that had tornadoes last night.
Oh,
terrible.
My gosh.
Terrible.
So horrible.
Oh.
Yeah, because
it's devastation.
Yeah, no, it's that time of year again, too, so, yeah.
It's April. That's
sure
what happened.
Shelter.
It's frightening.
Well, yeah, I asked one of my kids, I said, he works in this huge Home Depot warehouse. I said, where do you guys go for a... He's like, what are you talking about? It's just this huge... I said, no, it's a huge Target.
Right.
He's like, I don't know.
He's like, no,
well,
it's Home Depot, not
out.
Target. You're like, ah. Oh.
Man, you are quick today.
I am on fire.
On fire. So on fire. So speaking of on fire, we want to help give our listeners out there that do sales training.
Yes.
Some pointers on some new technologies that are out there for salespeople. And how can they leverage that? Because I'll tell you, the battle for getting revenue today is harder. But I will say, I was just at an event last night that was for a networking event for salespeople, and there's one company there that is hiring 300 salespeople.
Wow.
Like 300 people. Oh, my gosh. How are you?
Wow, that's a lot
that?
Of onboarding. Just
yes.
onboarding. Just yes. basic how yep. to speak the language of our company onboarding. Wow.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah, so I, of course, was immediately informing him of our technology that is used by salespeople. So I know we may have talked around it a little bit on this show in the past, but now I'm going to speak directly to it and give ourselves a shameless plug.
Go for it.
Because there's nothing out there like this. You know, when I talk to people and show it to them, it's like, wow, I've never seen anything like this before. Or the next question is, who's your competitor? Do you have any? And we really don't. Our competitors are our customers. So
yeah.
we have a role-playing simulator that lets you build customized simulated conversations that feel like you're talking to a real person.
Right.
And what's unique about it is that we kind of took the non-app route. It doesn't require an app. It's all verbal because even in a face-to-face conversation, if your voice personality is unattractive, or you can't speak in a convincing manner, or in a build rapport with your voice, it doesn't matter what you look like.
True.
And so our tool is the only thing out there that actually puts a tangible measurement on the intangible side of the conversation, and that's how you say something. How much influence you have in your vocal energy, how composed you are, and then it gives you a primary and a secondary emotion. So by allowing people to do this in a practice situation with scenarios tailored to their environment, you're able to really measure how well does someone communicate, even in just their voice, because then you can work on the other stuff. You can work on body language, appearance, the way that you use mannerisms. And those are easier things, I think, to change than how you're saying something and being knowledgeable about what you're talking about.
Absolutely. It's the old adage of just being able to hear. And like, the thing I think it's so cool is you get to hear it back and go, oh, I could have said that better. How could I have said that better?
Mm-hmm.
Let's try doing this again. So you're not doing it in front of a client. You're really working how you sound.
Well,
I mean... Yeah.
Exactly. And to your point, you're not doing, but there's no pausing. There's no reverse. There's no delete. It is what it is. Once you're in the simulation, it's, you know, thinking on your feet, spontaneous. How would you, so, you know, there's other simulators that we've seen out there that give on the screen choices of what to say.
Right.
you know, maybe that's okay initially, but, you know, when they get to the point where they're at our simulator, they've been given the general, hopefully they've been given the general things that you would use in those conversations. So ours is kind of like that mastery portion of a test where you've gone through, you've gone some of the little steps, now you're in, you know, feet first.
Right. And as you said, in a live conversation with a human being, it's, you can't go, oh, wait, let me say that again. I mean, I guess you can, and if you're gifted with humor, you might be able to get away with it a few times. But, again, it's not something that's going to build confidence and eventually win you the sale. I think it's just well, you know, as an actor, rehearsing what we're saying so that we're saying it with ease. And the nice thing about having the ability to listen to what you're saying is to go back and here's a challenge that I have, as probably demonstrated right this moment. I have a trouble with being concise and coming up with the quickest, shortest amount of words to get my point across, but still yet sound like me. And this type of tool for these kinds of situations are just so valuable, especially if you're tortured like I am, where you just can't. And unfortunately, that's the thing that is being said in the other person's head is, could you just get to the point? Because they can tell where you're going. You're just stalling, maybe. Maybe it's fear. There's a lot of different things going on in your head of why you may that kind of stuff. But
right.
It really helps you pull that all together. And you know, if you listen critically, if you can't listen to yourself critically, that's okay. Have somebody else listen to it or listen to it with you and talk through what you're doing well and what, you know, you need to work on.
Right. So use that. You know, it could be used as a pre-hire tool to automate the interviewing process. It could be used as an onboarding tool. And now over the weekend, we're going to be building on a version where we're going to integrate it with a CRM. So, for example, let's say you've scheduled a meeting with a hospital, and we can set it up so that a workflow, so it knows your calendar, so it's going to say, oh, an hour before this meeting's to take place, send the sales rep a text, because everybody should have a phone with texting on it today, if they're a professional salesperson. And then in that text, it will be a link. So just one-click access, right? They don't have to log in to do anything. It's going to send them a link to trigger a role play to their phone related to hospitals. So the, you know, an hour or whatever time frame you want before they step into that customer's or prospect's office, they're going to have in the field practice of, what are their objections, or how do I position our product to the hospital, or can answer these top five questions related to this account, whatever it might be. What's your goal for this account? What do you hope to accomplish from this meeting? Blah, blah, blah. So it gives them that true practice. It's not just writing it down. It's verbalizing it. And when you verbalize something, there is actually things going on cognitively that help you become more successful and help you change your behavior. So we're going to build this push versus the pull version of it over the weekend, which is very cool.
That's very cool. Very, very
cool.
Yeah.
So, of course, our developer says, oh, that's easy. I'm like, I hope you think it is, because I said, how much time is that going to take? Not much time at all.
No.
But, you know, so that being said, looking at the other big technology that companies are using for salespeople, the CRM, I call it a monster. It's really becoming a monster because companies, it's just like the LMS has become. Everybody's trying to make it do everything. And they're pushing everything into the CRM because somebody gets budget approval to buy this big honking piece of software, and then everybody else tries to hitch their wagon to it. I mean, there's pros and cons to that. You know, the most popular one, obviously, is Salesforce.com. We've even created a talk to CRM application that's not even an app. It's just linking our software to their software.
Right.
But what's frustrating is companies still struggle with getting the sales reps to use the CRM correctly. I think they're getting better at it. So, for example, what we built, the Talk to CRM. So the biggest complaint I hear all the time is user adoption. And user adoption is basically getting the sales rep to use it. Well, sales reps are great at logging in, getting the rep the customer's name or email, but when it comes to putting intelligence back into the CRM, they don't do that.
Nancy, do you have any ideas why they are reluctant to do that? Is there a valid reason, or is it? What do you think?
Well, I think there's a couple of reasons. One is they just don't want to do it because it eats up time and pulls them away from selling. But the other one is some of these CRMs have gotten so convoluted that just to update the record with all the data that, you know, fill in this field, click this choice, you know, by the time they update the record, they've had like 20 different touch points. So I think part of it is a lot of times a company will start off with a simple CRM, then they run campaigns, and then they run campaigns on top of campaigns. So there's a lot of junk in there or a lot of fields that are tracked for no reason, you know, that. So that's the other reason. Mm-hmm. And the third reason is I think sales reps don't always want their boss to know what they're doing or not doing. You know, why is my pipeline not filled? Oh, well, I'll get to it. Sure. Well, you're not filling it out because maybe it's not where you need to be.
Right. I was wondering if there was any kind of fear of like, oh, I may go to another company, and if I do put the information in here, then I can't go to another company and utilize this.
Well, there might be some of that, because
kind of
I think sometimes reps feel that it's their relationship, so they get to transfer it from one company to the next.
Right, and Salesforce is really clear about how that's really not how it's designed, that the data is intended to stay with the company with which you were working when you found that information, which I thought was interesting.
So I see a lot of companies now using like instant messaging or social selling is the next big thing. So some CRMs will now pull in the LinkedIn profile or Facebook page or their Twitter, you know. But again, you know, in talking to organizations, even somebody the size of IBM, you know, IBM is a software company. You would think that people selling software would be using software.
Yeah.
They're not, you know. It's like, oh, big surprise. I mean, one guy told me, oh, I just keep track of all my contacts on Excel.
That's
like,
hilarious.
Okay.
But
I'm glad spending millions of dollars on their CRM and 50% of the sales reps don't even use it. So that's got to be a huge frustration to the company that paid all that money.
Right.
So how do you
help if you make the Kool-Aid, you got to drink the Kool-Aid. You know, that's just my feeling.
Yeah. So, you know, so some of the technologies that I've seen out there that are useful are there's a company called Yesware, and Yesware is doing exactly what this other software, Sidekick is doing, where it will let you track Outlook emails. If someone's opened them, which device they opened them on, then you can actually integrate that into your CRM. Because some CRMs actually have a way to track mass emails that go out, and some of these tools let you send maybe 200 or 1,000, but not thousands, like MailChimp and some of those things. So they're getting smarter about blending the marketing tools into the sales tools. And so I think, you know, obviously that's another technology that I think companies should be looking at, because sometimes I'll send an email out in our CRM, but I think sometimes those might get because of some of the back-end stuff that has to be put on that mail to track it back to the CRM and kind of follow the FCC guidelines of sending out mass emails.
Mm-hmm.
So I would suggest, you know, looking into that. InsideView and SalesLoft are other companies that are doing very similar things, and HubSpot, but they're tracking everything. So now I can track, if they're in my CRM, I can see if they touched a page on my website. I can see if they went to our Facebook page. So now you're getting multi-point access to analytics around what are people looking at, what are they interested in, how many times do they come back, that type of thing.
That's really
cool.
It's
like you're tap dancing.
Yeah, exactly. It's reaching so many different areas. I mean, that means somebody's way more interested than you if they're going to look at different sites that your company is associated with. That's very cool.
Right. So it's all about insights, analytics, and then responding to that. So one of the things I say, and I'm sure some of our people in our audience have heard this, is that if, let's say, somebody goes to your website and fills out a form about more information, or they fill out a form to get a white paper that's on there.
Mm-hmm.
They say you have a higher percent of converting that to a sale if you call them immediately. Which makes sense.
Okay.
It's like, okay. So I was doing that one day, and before I even had the form filled out, they were calling me.
How'd you feel about that?
And I don't know how. I don't know if they can grab data in real time as I'm filling
right.
out the form. I'm like, oh,
did that make you feel good?
You know?
Did you like it? What did you think about that?
Well, I was like, all right, you're on top of it. You have a sales process set up to be like in the moment of I'm interested.
Yeah.
Let's get going on this. So, you know, so that's another thing that it's so important. If you can actually put technology in place that gives your salespeople the power to do that, at the very least, as soon as a form gets filled out, those mm-hmm. automatic form technologies should send somebody an email saying, this person just filled out this form. So if it's not immediate, it's within the hour that it's been done, somebody should be making a phone call.
Absolutely. I totally agree with you.
So let me see how much time we have here. 12 minutes. Okay. So I want to run through this this article from Inc. Magazine, 7 Must-Have Apps for Salespeople. So I'm just going to run through them. Conferencing
okay.
on the go. So GoToMeeting or WebEx or whatever you might have, whatever conferencing software you have, you should have a mobile version of it. Now, I think it would be very painful to try to run a video conference from a phone.
Yeah, but attend one.
Attend one you can.
To
but they're saying,
one from your phone.
Right. But if you're giving it, at the very least, do it on a tablet. The next one is Camcard. So this is a way to take a picture of a business card and scan it into your CRM. Now, I think Salesforce.com app store has something like this, and I think it's free. And then it puts the person's name, contact information right in as a new record
right.
in Salesforce.
It seems like that's just a no-brainer, that really should be something
yeah.
that is a free tool. Because even when I'm using, say, my credit card on a web app that's I'm ordering food. How about that? And I have a credit card.
Mm-hmm.
They'll say, would you like to scan the card? Same size. Grabs the key information from the card, and then I don't have to enter the information in and run the chance of
right.
not putting it in correctly.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Right. So speaking of credit cards, the very next one is sell with a swipe. After you sign up for Square, so this is Square, but...
Oh,
Square is
awesome.
You've seen... But PayPal, if you have a PayPal account, they'll send you a free card scanner.
Reader? Nice.
Reader. Yeah,
nice.
And it just plugs into your headphone jack. And it works.
I think that's exactly how Squarespace is, or Square One does as well. Yeah, it's probably
yeah.
the same technology.
So I think you get the reader, both of them, for free, and then they just charge you a certain rate of percentage of your
of
transaction.
Transfer. Yeah, yeah.
Right. Take pitch presentations with you. So this is Keynote. Obviously, so it's only for Apple products, but
okay.
it's like PowerPoint, but they have tablet versions and iPod Touch versions available, I'm sure, iPhone as well. It's $9.99. But sometimes you can plug your device into a bigger screen, so like a HD TV to make it bigger.
Oh, absolutely. If you use Apple TV, or I'm sure if you have a Roku kind of device, you can shoot your image from
mm-hmm.
your phone to that. To a much larger screen.
Yeah. Yeah. Scan and save the important stuff. So this is DocuScan by iFunPlay Company, and it is free for, mm-hmm. right now it says iPhone and iPad, but I'm not sure how old this article is, so they might have an Android version.
I'm betting
so basically,
they have an Android version.
Yeah, it basically will take, you know, if you have a receipt. I was at a networking event for women in technology, and we were doing kind of like a speed dating thing, but it was speed uh-huh. mentoring.
Nice.
And each of us had a sheet of the women that we chatted with, and so at the end of it, some woman a little bit older than me says, is there a way I can make a copy of my sheet before I turn it in so I can stay in contact with these people? And so people was like, oh, yeah, sure, you know, we have a copy here. And then some younger person raised their hands like, why don't you just take a picture of it?
Yeah. And there are some great apps if you need to deal with receipts that way, which I do have to, I'll give a shout out to this one app that I really, it's called Genius Scan. And
what is it?
It's Genius Scan.
Oh,
and my nephew, who's a genius from Apple, totally unrelated with the name, but this is what they use.
Yeah.
Or he recommended. And it's a great app. And what it does is it turns your picture into a PDF, which is often what people want to see, like accountants and things
mm-hmm.
like that. That a small little nice black and white, you can turn it into a totally black and white image for you. It does that automatically. It can grab things together and group them together. It's very easy to do that, to delete stuff from the group or add things to the group later. But it's just a single picture thing. You can tweak the image a little bit after the picture's taken.
Huh.
And then it's sweet.
There you have it.
It's really
wow.
sweet little tool. Genius Scan.
Nice.
Mm-hmm.
Genius Scan. Okay. Mm-hmm. Check that out. So the next one is, it says, stop circling the block. So this is Park Mobile. So it gives you, you know, where your location is, what parking spaces are available, and what their fees are. But I actually use one that gives me a discount.
I totally need this app.
Yes, you do.
Screws you up, you know. It's you get
yeah,
there with plenty of time to spare, and then you waste all your your getting your head together chilling time prior to a meeting. And with parking and trying to find parking,
right.
It's crazy.
So ParkWiz is the one I use.
Okay.
And you have to put in, like, I'm gonna start at this time and I'm going to be out. Because if you go past the time that you said you'd be there, they charge you more. I found that out.
Oh, okay.
But it shows you, you know, in the map that you're at, what the prices are, and then directions to there. And then you get a barcode. So basically you scan your barcode when you get into the parking ramp, and it lets you in and gives you a
nice.
Ticket and lets you out.
Nice.
So then there's another one. I know people use a lot. I'm trying to – here in Chicago, but I think they're national parking apps. Spot Hero. So Spot Hero,
yes.
S-P-O-T, is a very popular one too. You know, so it gives you both – parking garages, the just the parking fields.
Right.
Cars are just parked right next to each other. So any of those. And you
on
usually
street parking?
Save up to, not on street
mean?
Parking.
Oh, you're
yeah.
talking about like parking lots.
Like in the parking lots. Yeah, that
yeah.
aren't ramps.
Yeah.
Yeah. So definitely if you're in a larger metropolitan area, highly recommend getting one of those. And then... then the next one is Salesforce software. Manage it all. Oh, this is just the mobile version of Salesforce, so I wouldn't count that. So if you have a CRM, ask to see if they have a mobile version of it and use that instead of, because, you know, you're out in the field all the time. I mean, sometimes you can pull up the web version of the CRM, but it's not optimized for that mobile device.
Right, or maybe sometimes the company you're working with hasn't click the button to allow you to have the mobile access, which I did find with some time
right.
software.
Right.
All you have to do is like talk to the administrator. Oh, you know, because they may not be aware that that's what people are wanting to use.
Yeah.
Ask questions.
Or, yeah. Okay. So those are kind of the top seven. But then, you know, anything, you know, what I was really looking for and I thought about this show is what are the apps that people are using so to keep track of things. I use my camera a lot. You know, if I'm at an event and somebody's putting a slide up, I use that, and I see people doing that. It's, there's a whiteboarding that's going on. I do that. Now, there's also a whiteboarding app for tablets. So if you do a lot of whiteboarding, I know a lot of our customers actually have training classes around whiteboarding. So if you want to just practice it yourself, you know, maybe look to see if you have a tablet or even a computer where you're practicing whiteboarding. You know, if you're on a train or got some downtime at the airport, you can't put a big whiteboard up at the airport and start drawing on the wall. What are you doing? You know, tell your story, practice telling your story using your camera. You know, if you do a lot of face-to-face selling, just practice as if somebody was sitting, you know, turn the camera on your computer and watch yourself as you're talking. You know, do you use too many hand gestures? Do you have a furrowed brow and you don't realize it? Those kinds of things that it's hard to self-assess unless there's some way that you can monitor that. So just use the camera right on your phone or your computer, because almost every computer today has one.
Absolutely.
So I totally agree,
Nancy. That is a huge, huge thing. You can use the camera that's on the front of your phone, so you switch it so you're like doing a selfie, but it's a video. And it is the one caveat I would give anybody that's going to tape themselves is, rather than talking to the camera, place the person that you're talking to the right of the camera or to the left of the camera at a normal head height kind of thing, so that you're not – something about looking down the barrel of the camera for a lot of different reasons I don't think is going to give you – it's just going to look a little weird to you. And I think when you're trying to assess, am I using the right movements or not, you know, like when you're watching an interview of two people on television and the camera isn't always directly – facing into the person's eyes, they're talking to somebody off camera, and it just feels a little more natural, and I think you'll get a better assessment of yourself and not freak out, oh, I look weird, if you change your focus to not be looking straight down the barrel of the camera. Now with photographs, it's a whole different thing, but for video,
right,
it really, and again for this purpose, it can really help you be better at what you're doing.
Yeah, exactly. Now, I'm not going to place a vote on the mobile watches.
Oh, no.
I don't know if those would be of any help to sales reps or not. It's my understanding you still have to have your
people seeing them and wanting to talk to you about them.
That could be.
The great
that might
breaker.
Be the only reason. so I'm the jury's still out on whether or not that would be a helpful tool. If you do a lot of virtual presentations, again, I can't say enough about practicing and recording it so that you get good at it. Because it's, you know, in those situations, unless it's like a very private group, if you're doing a webinar, you know, you want to have a co-facilitator with you to help as people are logging in, because nothing is more irritating than, I can't get connected. I can't da-da-da-da-da.
And let me
so
guarantee there will be somebody that does that.
Yes. Oh, yeah. You know, so practice that. Get familiar with it. Nothing can destroy your presentation worse than the technology you're using. So really get savvy on that. If that's something that's critical to your sales process, make sure you practice that. And if there's some issue that you have with it, you know, make sure you bring it up to the folks. Like maybe – you know, maybe it's the way when people log in, it takes them forever, or it won't let you display polling questions, or whatever it might be. You know, I mean,
right.
Almost all of them have the same features out there today. But if there's always a new and improved version, or use Google Hangouts. I mean, it's free. So, again, just kind of figure out what the tool of choice is, but practice with that. And, you know...
Yeah, I think they're really going to hold that practice thing.
Let the technology help you, not hurt you.
Right.
And there's a lot of ways to get data, insights, tracking, all that good stuff. But you got to know what you're working with. So understand the technology before you get too far down the road and have it blow up in your face. So that being said, that's our show for today. So thank you, Allison, for joining me. And
you're so welcome.
Thank you all for listening to Training Tech Talk.